We have some mic levels.
So welcome to the
fifth
episode of the Brian and Ryan podcast.
Yes, and we have a silent partner today. Jenny's here.
Jenny's here, but she's right now she's not going to talk.
Yeah, she doesn't want to be part of this.
All right, we'll see.
She doesn't want to be super famous like Ryan and I.
Yeah,
she's not ready for that that famous celebrity life.
It is weird to lose your anonymity.
Oh, without a doubt.
Like the other day, I was at the mall, and everyone was like, Ryan!
Following you around, wanting autographs, selfies.
I get a lot of Brian, too, though.
Brian?
Yeah.
You're like, no.
I'm not sure.
It's only four letters. He's five.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, no, I don't. I haven't gotten that yet.
Maybe no.
I don't live in as a urbanized, you know, society as you. I live kind of out in the cut.
Oh, okay. You know?
So when away from civilization.
People may not listen to as many podcasts as they do out this way, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about that. So, yeah, we haven't had a podcast, and it's been a few weeks.
It's been a while.
So, welcome back. And the cry for a podcast producer is still out there.
It's only gotten louder, actually.
It's only gotten louder, my friend.
We really were trying to step up our game tonight.
Two mics.
We said, you know what? It's time for two mics.
Yeah. I went out and got a second mic. Mm-hmm. So we'd each have our own individual mics to improve the audio quality. And we've just spent the past, 35 minutes.
Easy.
Trying to troubleshoot using two mics with the program we use to record the podcast. And we failed.
I appreciate you saying we. I mean, I feel the sort of the burden.
Yeah. I sat here and drank beer.
Well, he was very supportive, though.
I believe my input was, is it plugged in?
Yes, and he did check himself.
Indeed, it was. Both ends of the cable. Yeah, that's how dedicated I am to this podcast.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, it's so we're back to a single mic.
Mm-hmm. We are recording in a new studio today, though.
Yeah, we're at Ryan's house today.
We're in City Mouse instead of Country Mouse territory, I guess.
Yeah, no, we're in the city of Pittsburgh. Is this your mailing address isn't technically the city of Pittsburgh, though,
right? Mailing just says Pittsburgh, but I live in Ross Township. See, I think that, you know, it's just one of those weird things. Like, his Dormont was Pittsburgh, too, even though it was its own. I think Mount Lebanon might even be Pittsburgh.
Mount Lebanon is 100%. Wait. That's interesting.
I think the mailing address might be Pittsburgh.
Okay, because the thing that I was going to say was, I think the big defining factor of do you live in the city or not is if you would call the police, do the city of Pittsburgh police show up at your house?
Yes, but it's a very big difference between the city, the limits of the city itself, and the mail.
Yes, very true.
Because I lived in Brookline, I lived in the city of Pittsburgh. I paid more taxes. Right. I had city cops, city firemen, the whole nine yards. If you go, you know...
AKA your streets were never plowed.
Never.
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 Yeah, you're in the outliers.
Yeah,
you're
like, definitely.
Ah, we fuck were the poor people of Brookline. Fuck people of Brookline.
Yeah, that's why you move out here to Ross. Guess what? There's never... Like a snow drops out there and there's a guy out there running around with a shovel.
Is that true?
Oh, definitely.
They're pretty good with the roads out here?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they do it like a little bit over... They're a little bit overkill, yeah.
Ross
Township owns its own asphalt machine.
Really?
So they can lay their own road.
Huh.
Yeah.
Do they do that often?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
Yeah, then you gotta wait for them to lay the road.
Yeah, because, as you said,
But if you cross the street from Brookline to Dormont, now you're in the township of Dormont, which has its own police.
Correct.
But is indeed a Pittsburgh... mailing address.
I never put that together.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
Because you'd
think that it would be related. Because where we grew up, I grew up in Stockdale, which is a tiny little town in Pennsylvania, and we had our own post office, and it said Stockdale, Pennsylvania on it. And then you get out here, and you're like, it's encompassing multiple, you know,
Whole municipalities. The resources are stretched a little thin out here.
Yeah, true.
They really are. Because, I mean, you think about it, as you said, we both grew up in a small little neighborhoods where it had its own municipality, its own resources, its own law enforcement, its own fire department, EMS, you know, water department, so on and so
forth.
Everything, for the most part.
It's pretty much self-sustaining, yeah.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah, absolutely.
You get out here and then suddenly everything's Duquesne Light.
Yeah, but more importantly than that, you know, it's like, as you said, it's weird that like the city, the Pittsburgh police would show up to your Brookline house, but if you had a problem in Dormont, the Dormont police would show up. Or if you lived in Mount Lebanon, the Mount Lebanon police would show up. City cops wouldn't come to Mount Lebanon.
No.
You know?
Maybe if they were called in, but I don't think they would.
They don't need to be called in. Yeah, Mount not Lebanon. There. There's not much going on in Mount Lebanon.
They've got like a mounted... They have everything they need in Mount Lebanon. They have a mounted cop.
Yeah, there's not much going on in Mount Lebanon when it comes to...
But they've got
in
like
the criminal aspect.
They've got a brush, like a brush mobile to ride through the high brush.
Do they really? Probably. I've heard some of
the... You can't charge that much in property taxes and not... have some fancy cop stuff.
It's the that's definitely part of it, but I think the big deciding factor with the tax is the school district.
Definitely.
You know, if you have a child, you probably want to live in Mount Lebanon because they're going to get a goddamn good education.
Yep.
You know, much but, I mean, better do you than if you live in
Sorry.
Brookline. Paul, oh yeah. Definitely. Should I say that? I mean, that's like
I don't know. Hey,
you know,
Mount
I mean,
Lebanon's like right number one.
I guess anything in life is what you put into it.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So you and I were not model students, I think is fair to say.
I would agree with that.
We were mostly jack-offs. Like, we fucked around. I never did any homework. Like, the difference between you and I at some point you did no homework as well.
Correct.
But you went further than me because your mom did it for you for a while. And then once Gigi threw in the towel on doing your homework, then you joined my ranks.
I graduated and that was it.
Well, I guess you just so she did it the whole way through.
Oh my goodness, yes.
So there was never you never wrote a paper.
A paper, yes, I would say. I would say that's
sure that's fair.
That's suffice. Yeah, 100%. My mom loves me, is what I would like to say.
Oh no,
she loves me.
Yeah, my mom probably would have written my papers, but I would just like when they would come home and say, "Do you have any homework?" I'd just say no.
Oh, okay.
And they knew that
you lied.
But they knew that I, like, that's the thing I've realized now is that they enabled that to a certain extent because when I would say no, they would go, okay. It's like, you know that I have homework, right?
Yeah,
so everyone's in denial here, right? Then especially once I started bringing home the bad grades, like, there had to have been a certain point where you go, you put two and two together, well, he's not doing his homework. He lied to us about the homework.
The funny thing about it is.
And when they would go to the teacher parent conferences, which I think they did all the way till I was a senior.
Let's backtrack.
Okay, all right.
The funny part about this is well, you're 100% right.
Okay.
But the crazy part about it is it would be different if Ryan's parents were, you know, Ryan's mom was, you know, a secretary or a nurse.
Right.
And Ryan's dad worked in a steel mill like my dad did.
No, they're teachers.
They were both fucking teachers.
Yeah.
They were teachers. So they gave out homework.
They knew for sure that there was homework.
They were like, we're giving out homework. For sure as fuck, Ryan's getting homework.
Yeah, I bet you someone's handed them some homework.
So your parents loved you too.
I guess.
They didn't want to razz you.
They didn't want to give me a hard time.
Yeah, they didn't want to stress
you out.
Which
I appreciate.
Stressed out. They didn't want to stress you out.
You know, I don't need to be stressed.
We talked about that today.
Too stressed.
Via text message.
Yeah.
You know?
Too stressed now.
There's a point where you can be stressed out too much at work.
Absolutely.
And work too much.
Yeah.
What was the quote you gave me today? You're looking for...
I said, you know, I don't like being bored.
Right.
Because that's terrible.
No, being bored sucks.
But I also don't want to be, you know, in zany maniac, everything has to be done mode either.
Yeah, like working 12 hours a day.
So I like a nice balance between chill.
And work.
And work.
I think it was 50% chill, 50% work.
Yeah, if you can get a nice mix.
That's, I think I've done a pretty good job of that in the past, you know, 2 years of my life. You know, I think it's probably good
and
bad.
Your work chill balance is good.
Yeah, my work life balance is good.
Yeah.
You know, without a doubt. How about yours?
I mean, the biggest problem is the room we're sitting in right now.
Because the rumor?
The room we're sitting in.
Oh, room we're sitting in.
Yeah, so when I'm not traveling, I sit in this room often by myself at that computer. And sometimes I text my coworkers and sometimes we get on video conferences. But that's not conducive to the way that I like to work. And I work in a creative field, and I think that makes it even worse.
That makes sense.
Because in my previous gigs, I would be in a room with people that you could grab and sit down and say, let's
brainstorm,
bounce
stuff. Yeah, right, right,
wall.
Yeah.
Let's get
There's an energy. There's an energy in the room, without a doubt.
And you know what? There's people I work with who are very good at that online. they're very good at like raising their hand when they need help or grabbing somebody and hopping into a video conference. And you know, I don't know what it is. It might be my age showing, but I think, as you said, there's a certain, I mean, I'm a theater major, man. There's a certain quality of being in a room, in a moment with people as we are right now. Do you know what I mean? Versus us doing the show over Skype. It would be a very different dynamic, right?
Yeah, no, feeling the energy of somebody and kind of getting their pacing and their beat and, you know, and their energy is definitely, it's huge for me.
And so much of it is body language.
Body language. And, body language is huge. Right. Or, you know, facial expressions or, you know, demeanors, the way you carry yourself. That's why, you know, it's like I've always kind of fretted, you know, phone interviews. If I ever, you know, was, you know, interviewing for a new position or a new job, I would rather meet somebody face to face than do a phone interview. 100%. Because this I rely so much on that animation and that thing. I'm doing it right now, you know, that, 100%. You know, the facial expressions and, you know, you can emote so much with your body. It, to me, it's half of it. It's
right. Half so of if it. You imagine taking all that away and now maybe you have your face two dimensionally being broadcast, but like that's essentially it. Right. Another job that I did not succeed at was when I did admissions work for an online university, which was the very first gig I did in this field, because it was talking on the phone and right. I just hated it. I really did. It was really hard to make a connection with somebody, especially like a cold call where you're just trying to hound somebody down and then have a meaningful conversation about their dreams and their hopes and their desires.
Yeah. I think that's where the ultimate salesman shines.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Where cold calling, I mean, that's it, right?
The thing I always said that frustrated me the most were the guys that were the best at it were the ones that like told the same corny joke at the exact same time and kind of laughed. Yep. I mean, they didn't stick to the script that the company gave us. They made it their own.
Of course.
But they did it exactly the same every time. And honestly, that's why I wasn't a good salesman.
Right.
Because, you know, there is the right way. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all these corny tricks like get someone to agree three times and then,
correct, yeah.
you know, trying to close them and then reclose them and all this kind of shit. And if you follow the formula exactly as written, it generally works better than just trying to work off the top of your head or trying to build a relationship. But I know I'm preaching to the choir here, right. but for me, as soon as I would get two of those down pat, and then I would be like, I don't want to go through that again. Like, it really just didn't work for me. I didn't have that ability to kind of just repeat the same thing over.
Cut the corners.
Yeah.
You know, well, everyone's definitely different. I mean, I'm kind of in the sales management world, and I train a lot of people on the art of selling. And I say exactly what you say. Is you know, you want to, you know, I always tell people it's like these are the key points you want to hit in your sales pitch. Mm-hmm. Make it your own. Mm-hmm. Don't try to emulate mine. Don't try to emulate Jenny's. Don't try to emulate Ryan's. Don't try to emulate anyone else's. Make it your own. You'll stumble through it for the first 5, 10, 20 times. But once you finally find something that works, stick with that and just use that verbatim every single time. And the people that work for me, that do utilize that formula have the best success without a doubt. And, you know, I was just telling, Jenny this the other day, cause she had just started a new job and a new career. And she was worried about the selling aspect of it. And the truth of the matter is I told her, I was like, the secret to your success with selling is this: offer every single service, every single time. No matter what, it's a numbers game,
right?
You know, and I think the quote that someone had given me years ago was, "If you offer 100% of the time, you can fail 70% of the time and still be the best salesman in the company."
Yeah,
you mean if you close 30% of your sales,
it's like baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can bat 300, you're fucking rock. You're a rock star.
Yeah.
You're going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you're playing the All-Star game. Yeah, you're making tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Now, I'd say there is maybe not big differences, but maybe subtle differences, but between, and you've lived both worlds, between sort of a retail pitch or an add-on versus like a closing a sale, right?
Correct.
Like,
yes.
You know, because that turn that you and I have talked about before in sales, like, right? So if we're thinking about the sales cycle, it generally is a greet, right? Like saying hello to somebody, you're presenting something.
It's the same thing.
Or you're qualifying.
Every company has a different acronym.
Sure.
Or what. You know what I mean? It always starts
it's with always greet, qualify, no, present,
right,
close,
right.
Know, reclose,
get to know the customer, exactly. Add on to the sales, close the sale.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So would you say that's still followed in the retail?
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. You know, it's the same thing, you know, but you know, you definitely
need. Stakes are lower, so.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. You know, so finding able talent is more difficult. You know what I mean? Because you can't. Can't necessarily in a sales world
you can
you're
going to
find right with financial
you, can
you know what I mean yeah. You sell, you make money. You know, in my world, these people are making an hourly rate. They're not making money by selling. They're doing it to help the team
now
out.
Is there any kind of spiff or anything at all that can be entering? Because I always found that even if there's those cheesy things where you have to enter stuff into a website or something, I always find
without a doubt you know, it's like you know, the thing that I've learned at, you know, my old age is everyone's working for something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Some people want the money.
Mm-hmm.
Some people want a little bit of money and they want that freedom. You know, some people are working for the benefits or the, you know, the spiffs or, you know, the extra stuff. You know, so it's, you know, everyone has a different agenda, I think, on why they're working and what they're working towards and what the, you know, air quote, ideal job is.
Sure.
You know, it's like, I've got a great job because,
out, right?
You mean, yeah, and everyone's individual, you know, where it's like, I've got a great job because I make a shit ton of money, or I got a great job because I'm only working part time and I can pay my bills, you know, or, you know, I'm working because, you know, they send me, you know, on this, you know, company retreat, you know, quarterly, you know, whatever it might be, you know, everyone's looking for something different, you know, and I guess, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's like, what makes you happy? You
right.
Know? What makes you happy?
Right.
You know, and, you know, I guess the million-dollar question is, you know, what constitutes success? What constitutes failure? What constitutes, you know, happiness, not being happy? You know, and everyone's different, you know? And we talked about it. It's like, I'm happy with getting by and having that, you know, work-life balance, you know, where, you know, I get to hang out with the people I like to hang out with my dog Hunter.
And Jenny.
You know, and you know, make some money and do what I like, you know, over, you know, work 90 hours a week and make a shit ton of money.
Sure.
Because I could probably do it in the sales
sure.
business, but
yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Just like, that doesn't make me happy.
Yeah, I learned that lesson young, which was smart, that I didn't want to work like that. I think the thing, and I've thought a lot about it over the last 2.5 years, because in a lot of ways, like there's a lot of things about my job that are great, but it really comes back to what I started the conversation with, which is what I would call creative team sports is the thing that I want to do more than anything else. I think it comes from that sense of, like, you know, the feeling of belonging when I found the theater, because part of it is, like, you've got this weird disparate group of people. You did the shows with us in high school,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
It's
yeah.
sort of like a weirdo group,
yeah,
right?
It's like a club.
It's a little bit of a misfit toy thing,
right?
And you have to row in a direction, and people have different skill sets,
yep.
And people are good at different things, and they bring different value. And some people are there because it's fun, and some people are there because they aspire to something else, or they want to learn a craft, or they want to. But, like, just that whole sort of that sense of, we're doing something together to accomplish a goal that's bigger than what I would be able to do by myself. Because, yep. Quite frankly, I struggle as an individual, whatever you want to call it, creator, right? Like,
right.
I definitely have some abilities, but, like, I thrive when there's a goal in mind, there's something for us to do, we have to work together to accomplish it. And I do still get to do that. It's just really harder because I have to do it mostly through a computer. And, you know, I don't think that I've learned the proper tactics, and I've been doing it now for two and a half years. So
will
that's,
you ever know the proper tactics? The
yeah,
question,
right.
You know?
So that's where I think I just need to get back in a room with real people again.
You know?
You know?
No, it's very similar to me where, you know, it's like, I think self, I always screw this up where it's like self-recognition, self-acknowledgement, self-introspective. You know, knowing what you're good at, knowing what you're bad at, knowing what you like, knowing what you hate is very, very valuable.
Yeah, and trying to maximize.
You
know what I mean?
And maximize, like double down, triple down on what you're good at and stay away from what you're bad at, you know, because it's usually a pitfall for, you know, depression and self-doubt and, yeah, you know, and a setback.
You've probably heard me say, like, the line I'll use is that I've focused more on doing the thing or making sure I'm not doing the things I don't want to do.
Yes.
Because I've had a harder time, honestly, figuring out what it is I want to do.
I don't know. Does anyone know what they really want to do?
I don't know. See, that,
does anyone know what they want to do, though?
If somebody young were to ask me advice, I would say that. I would say, like, focus on figuring out what you don't like.
Right.
And then run away from that.
Yes. Yeah, no, 100%.
You know?
You know, do you deal with a lot of young people?
No, I don't.
See, I do.
You do.
I do deal with a lot of young people that have that self-doubt of, you know, or that question of the future. Of, you know, it's just like, what am I supposed to do with my life? Where am I going to go? You know,
well, it's way more my of a parents shit show now, me. Don't you think?
Oh my goodness! No, the bottom has fallen out of this whole, you know, air quote American dream thing. Where you, it's
yeah,
like,
now we're going to dark place. But
well, no, I think it's going uncharted. You know, where it's like before. I think you and I were the last generation of, you know. You know, you do well in high school, you go to college, you get that 4-year degree, you get out, you get that good job, you immediately pay off your college debt, you find the woman or man of your dreams, you settle down, you buy the house, you have the 3 kids, you get the dog.
I'll one up that though. I'll say slightly different. I think our group, particularly our age group that some people call the Star Wars generation, right? People born between 77 and 83. Like,
I'm the right way. That's before 76. Gen X?
It's sort of the tail end of, we're like the very last, we're the youngest of the Gen Xers.
Because
I've worked with, Gen Xers are kind of people who run the companies now. These are these guys in their 50s, right?
That's Gen X?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
our parents are baby boomers. So they're the ones that were slotted in between. And we're at the very tail end of that.
Gen X.
Of Gen X. Some people call our particular group the Star Wars generation. The main reason why is because the Gen Xers, like my old boss, who's probably 55 right now, he made it all the way through college with a typewriter. He got his first job as a consultant without a computer.
Right, that's awesome.
You and I, we went to, in high school, they gave us computers.
Did they?
By the time we got to, they didn't give them to us, but we had to use
There was computers. One computer in our high school, right?
No, that's not
yes,
true.
Yes, there was.
No, that's not true.
That is
the
true.
The library alone
had one computer. One computer.
The library alone.
With a CD-ROM.
There was a Mac lab. I could show you the video of the tour.
A Mac Apple IIe.
There were Macs.
Dude, it could do word processing.
We had
you could
computer.
Type.
There was a whole computer lab. I took that class.
Ryan,
I took a C
it's
class.
It's totally different. Than what it is now.
True.
It's totally different. You're not like the kids.
We were exposed to it, is my point.
The kids that
those
it's totally different. The kids that work for me, man, are like legitimately learning like full blown computer code.
Sure.
The kids that work for me are like, oh yeah, I could program a website. And I'm like, where do you know that? And they're like, oh, they taught that to me as a junior in high school. And I'm like, what? You know? So it's totally different than
listen,
we no
let's back
we
up
were
a second.
At the
let's back up a
birth
second.
Of
let's
it.
Back up a second.
No.
I had a website that I hand-coded when we lived in fucking Dormont. It was my Dave Matthews trading.
It was a website or a BBS?
No, it was a website. And before that, I had a BBS. So don't act like you're trying to play this like we didn't have technology.
No, but it's not what it is now.
We watched it all explode.
100%.
All of it.
No, 100%. You know?
We had the iPhone the same time these young kids did. On the same day.
Yeah, but these young kids were 15.
True.
We were 33.
True.
Okay.
True.
Right, okay, all right.
I'm not arguing.
So it's like, you know, it's like, you know, when we were, you know, our technology was, what, a VHS?
Yes.
Yes, exactly. And now
DVD was right behind it, though, like 98,
right? Right behind it 6 years later. You could say
later.
It's like, oh, all right,
so
know,
this
augmented
is where
reality.
I, this
right
is where
we're
I was going
now,
with this. This is
later,
where I was going
you know?
With this.
Like,
you talked about sort of the ideal, do well in high school, do well in college,
correct.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go one step further and say that the beauty of our group, we were one of the last groups that was allowed to be dreamers. We were one of the last groups where, you know, there was this attitude by parents that are like, what do you want to be, an astronaut, a policeman, a
true.
Filmmaker?
True.
Right?
Yes.
Hey, whatever you want to be. And we had the ability to go to college, drop out, fucking dick around, and then there was still a job market for us to enter.
True.
Like,
this group, maybe it's not as bad today, but that missing group, the people that are like my wife's age, right? They're actually getting old now. They're getting up into their 30s. That group, when they went to college, they took out outrageous loans.
Correct.
And then when they
got into... That was the start of it. That was the start of the outrageous loans, because it's continuing right now.
Oh, sure.
It's going on right now.
Sure.
It's maybe in its heyday right now.
Oh, it's a bubble, yeah.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, you worked at it. You worked for, education for profit, industry.
And the whole thing is education for profit.
And you know the model and the scale of it and how it's huge. Billions of dollars.
Billions of dollars.
Yes.
But
selling a dream.
But, so you're coming out of school in like 2007... And then the fucking economy blew up. What the fuck are you gonna do, bro? There ain't nothing to do. So there's like that whole group that never got like those first jobs. You know, those jobs of like, hey, I'm just gonna like cut my teeth figuring out something.
Right. That makes sense. The big question is gonna be.
And now when you have a kid, you have to be like, you have to do STEM. You have to learn to code. You gotta be a roboticist.
Now, it's funny because it's like I just hired a new guy, a new young man. He's like 18 and 19 years old. And he's going to CCAC, and he's trying to figure out what he wants to do. And he has like a lineage of engineers. His dad's an engineer. His older sister's an engineer. It's like when I talk to him, he wants to be an engineer.
Okay.
But does he really want to be an engineer? You know what I mean? Or does he want to do what, his family tells him he should do? And, the advice that I had, because he had, asked me, he was just like, what do you think? And I told him, it was just like, I was like, if you want to go to college, you want an education, I would go, for something to do with computers or healthcare. Those are the two booming, those are really the two booming markets right now. Speaking of computers, I met a dude the other day, mm-hmm. right? And I don't know if we've talked about this yet, but I met a dude the other day. He's probably in his early 30s. Works for a company called Argon.
It's Argo.
Argo. We talked about this. Yeah. Right? That's right. You corrected me the other day. Argo, who's doing the...
autonomous vehicles.
The autonomous vehicles.
I walk in front of them all the time.
Do they stop? I guess they do. You're sitting in front of me here, right? Yes, I guess they do stop. So Argo's doing a great job. Yeah.
They seem to be doing quite well.
Yeah. And it's like I've been talking about that an awful lot. I'd love to razz my UPS driver about that. Mm. My UPS driver comes and sees me twice a day, drop off and pick up. And I always tease him about how many more years do you have to retire? He's like, only 18 more. And I'm like, you're not going to see it, dude. I was like, the self-driving truck is going to take your job. And, I've educated all those guys on that. And it's definitely the future,
I had this conversation with my folks yesterday. Like, listen, part of the, so I've chosen not to bring children into this world.
Correct.
And sometimes I think that, part of the reason why is because I do think it's going to be quite a shit show.
I totally agree. Also, your house. I mean, you just gave Jenny and I a tour of your house, and your house is unsafe for children.
Unsafe for several reasons. There are sharp objects.
Sharp edges.
Sharp. There is no banister on.
There's no banister on the stairs.
And there are drugs and guns. Okay, so while we're on the subject, I want to show you this quick. It's only 29 seconds here, so we can get your reaction here.
This is the parkour robot.
This is a parkour robot. Now watch this shit. Get the fuck out of my face.
That's pretty fluid, dude.
Get the fuck out of my face.
Wow.
Dude.
Wow.
So for the folks at home, we're watching the Boston Dynamics Parkour Atlas video that I think was released today.
Wow.
These guys, Boston Dynamics, build this robot. What is the guy's name? He's got some name.
I'm blown away by that.
It's scary as shit, right? Do you want to watch it again?
Yeah. Do you think that...
Jenny? Watch this robot. Ready?
That's a robot, Jenny.
Ready? Okay, if you guys are at home, if you sunk it up, he's now climbing. He's climbing like these giant fucking blocks. Jump. He jumps. It's like parkour. It's literally what it says. If you search Parkour Atlas, that's his name, Atlas. Atlas
Jen,
should that's a robot. Strike fear into the hearts of all of us.
Listen, watch Black Mirror.
Yeah, no, I try not to. Yeah. Oh, so let's talk about something else, okay? While we're on the subject, let's talk about cell phone addiction. So I have turned on the controls here. And let me
Controls of what?
so you know, in the new iOS, you can it's called Screen Time, right?
No.
So in the last 7 days, I have averaged 6 hours a day.
On your cell phone?
On my cell phone.
Like when you say 6 hours, is that split up of like what 53 minutes Instagram, 30 minutes Safari, 30 minutes Apollo.
That's today. Let's look at the 25 minutes. 7 days. Oh look, no, it's even higher. Oh. 7 hours and 8 minutes. Although it's down 7%.
So that is what it is, right? Apollo 5 hours.
Yeah. So that's over across the whole week. I spent 6 hours looking at Reddit. 5 hours looking at Instagram.
What are you looking at on Reddit?
I love Reddit. How do you think I found the robot?
Jenny's bringing up hers. Right
all
right, now.
Let's check out Jenny.
Bring it up.
All right,
let's
bring it up. Bring it up.
Being quiet here.
Did you enable it? You have to enable it, though. That's the thing. Because I don't think Apple wants you to know how badly you're addicted to your device.
I disagree with that. You gave us a number. What was that before you brought it up? 1 hour and 18 minutes.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Jenny's barely used her phone at all. She's
43 minutes social networking.
That's amazing.
10 minutes other, 7 minutes on being productive. Good job, Jen.
That's crazy. Let's see.
Is it really?
Yeah, look, Jenny barely uses her phone.
Yeah, and the crazy part about it is I guarantee I use mine less.
Yeah, so half there you that. Go.
So
you're looking at a bona fide millennial style, not even millennial, like they're probably like these kids you're talking about, Gen Y or whatever.
Oh, dude, 100%.
I'm in the same boat as them. Addicted. This is the life I live. I just release dopamine into my brain constantly.
That's what Elon Musk talked about. You know, it's like the whole, you know, you're obsessed with likes.
Yep, I do. I love to see how many people have liked my cat.
Is that true?
People like my Oingo Boingo collection.
Is that true? I mean, you really, I remember we talked, I think on, was it the last, I think it was episode 4, we talked about the Apple Ferret.
Yeah, fair.
And how Apple Ferret had such a, I mean, in my opinion, personally, the most dominant online presence of anything or anybody I personally know.
She was the top Instagram ferret for several years.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like she dominated Instagram as the number one ferret.
Yeah.
You know,
we had 10,000 followers and roughly 1,000 likes a day. So we had a 10th of our audience interact with our photos every day.
That's pretty impressive.
I liked it. It's very impressive. It really brought me a lot of joy.
My question is, does the cat?
No.
Is Perkins as impactual?
No.
In the online community as Apple?
No. Cats is a big pull.
Oh, I see. So
swimming in the big leagues.
So I see. So you're saying the ferret was minor leagues. It's like, how many real ferret, like dedicated online?
Well, and here's the other thing I'll say.
Are there out there?
Well, there's cat owners.
There's a lot.
But there is a lot of ferret owners. You're right. Is that thing drooping? Just go back down to
one. Yeah, no, it's a.
Oh geez, that was super loud. Sorry.
Readjusting the mic.
The one thing I will say about ferret owners and people who like ferrets, they're very loyal though. So of like course. If you're into ferrets and you're into ferrets, like people will like a cute cat one day and then they'll be like, yeah, how many cats do I need to see? Like whereas if you're into ferrets, you're like, I'll look at ferrets every day, all day.
That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I would think that, it's owning a ferret is a very niche thing.
Agreed.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know
if we need to get all back into ferrets again.
Why not? I mean,
I love ferrets.
I guess my question is, what does the average person know about a ferret? Not much.
Probably not
much. Most people have never even seen a ferret with their own two eyes, let alone like held a ferret with their hands.
I feel like ferrets are in the culture though because
no.
Kindergarten Cop.
Dude, it's a movie.
But people have seen it.
I'm talking about with your own two eyes.
Oh, you mean literally?
Like, oh, there's a fucking ferret right there on the floor.
Looked upon a ferret.
Taking my keys.
Yeah,
let me go grab and take my keys back.
Yeah, you're probably right.
The average person has never seen a ferret.
Yeah, you're probably right.
100%.
We got some platform dimensions.
And people don't know much about ferrets.
No, you're probably right about that.
Yeah, so they are mustelids. Other things that are in the mustelid category are like minks.
Right.
And skunks.
Skunk.
And
really?
Yeah. Huh. There's a mustelid.
I didn't know that. Because of the scent thing?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, they all have stinky glands.
Stinky ferrets.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everyone says about ferrets.
Yeah, they stink.
They stink. Yeah. Yeah,
they're not terrible.
No, you can get their.
It's like, do you think a dog stinks?
Hunter definitely has a smell.
Yeah. Well, it's the same kind of thing.
So do Bai or
yeah. you. The one thing about a cat is a cat, because it's such an apex fucking killing machine.
Of course.
It keeps its scent so off itself.
Right.
Except for their stinky cat breath after they eat fish or something.
Right. Or yeah, yeah, exactly.
But they're licking themselves all day because they're trying to ward off any smell.
Is that true?
Yeah, that makes sense. I saw this thing the other day about, like, cats are a serious problem for species all types, because they will kill.
Dude,
they will kill anything.
Dude, the number I had heard was something like 3.2 billion birds a year.
Yeah, it's like a genocide.
Yeah.
But do we really give that much of a fuck about birds?
There's a lot of birds.
Yeah.
Birds are like bots.
I think if we started looking up and we were like, oh, the birds are gone, then maybe we'd be like, oh, okay. But, I mean, most of the birds you see are just cheep, cheep, cheeping around anyway, you know? You never see, like, a cool macaw or anything. You never go outside and see a parrot.
No.
That would be pretty fucking
rad. We live in Western PA, you know? If you live down in South America, yeah, you probably would see a macaw sit outside your window.
I guess you're right.
Here we have pigeons.
Yeah.
And some robins.
We got some squirrels. Sparrows.
I guess I thought about that today when I got up this morning. And I let the dog outside, and it's like, There's no sound but the birds.
Uh-huh.
Do you get that here? I mean, you're kind of off the beaten path.
Yeah, it's actually pretty quiet here. But you'll start to hear cars, like, coming up and down this hill.
Really?
Yeah. So there's not a lot of quiet time.
There's a lot of quiet where I live. And
except when the train comes by.
Yeah, but that's... The crazy part about that, the train coming by, it's fucking a mile and a half away.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not... Yeah. The train's not by my house.
I know.
It's not where you grew up or where Jenny used to live. Jenny used to live a block from the train. You used to live two blocks from the train.
Where Jenny lived, that's
where
rough.
Jenny lived. Oh, her apartment, man. The train would come by.
Grant McCloy's house.
The house would rumble.
Yeah.
Like rumble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you could feel it. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Just to show you how powerful a train is. The other day I got caught, though. I got caught on 88.
By a train?
By a train in Finleyville. And I was kind of initially pissed. Like, God damn it. You know, it's like trying to get to work. You know?
And then you said, you know what, now's a chance to enjoy the train.
Yeah, I really, as soon as I started seeing all the graffiti on the train, and I was like, oh, this is cool as shit. Speaking of graffiti, what do you know about Banksy?
Yeah, I loved it.
Was it amazing?
It's the best thing.
So, was he there?
I don't know.
No one knows?
No one knows.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Oh, dude, the one lady who's sitting next to it from that one shot, like, it's just so funny to look at her face. She's like, oh, you know? And then the auctioneer's like, stop it, stop it.
I
Now, the question I have is, do you think the auction house was in on it?
I read an article 2 days ago about that.
Okay.
And they said that...
They're claiming no.
Sotheby's did have an opportunity to obviously, you know...
Inspect.
Inspect and look at it.
But supposedly they only looked at the art, right?
Correct. But it was also the last painting or the last piece of art to be auctioned off that day, which kind of escalates the whole, like, maybe they knew what was up.
Because they knew
it's because, yeah, because it's like, if that would have gone halfway, yeah. Absolutely. You know what I mean? If that was, because I think they said there were 65 lots that day. So if it was, if it was lot 30, you know, and there's still 35 to go after that, you know, it's like, you know, would everyone have been in the buying mode?
Yeah, that would have been it. Yeah,
you know.
I think they had to admit it on. It was great.
It was amazing.
It's the kind of art stunt that you want to see.
100%. You know what I mean? If no one knows what we're talking about, it was what? Art piece was Girl with a Balloon?
Yeah. Which is one of his more famous ones that you'll see on the side of buildings and stuff.
Yeah, so it's Banksy started as what? You probably know more about him. God, you know more about him than I do.
Apologies, I'm no expert. I actually haven't seen that documentary about him. I do know that, you know, he's kind of a street artist, I think is technically what you'd call him, because he does a mix of...
Like graffiti.
He does graffiti, but he also does a lot of stencil work.
A lot of stencil work.
And then in recent years, he's done full installation pieces. Like, he did a dystopian Disneyland.
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, so he's definitely...
But no one knows who he is.
Well, that's the thing. And so
there's
a theory that I think a lot of people are taking credence with, which is that... And I'm gonna scramble my brain right now and try to remember who... the name of the band... But, shit, it's not coming to me.
Nickelback?
No, not oh, yeah, man, it no, was Nickelback. Yeah.
Was it Nickelback?
It was Nickelback. No, they're British artists. They do like kind of an electric show, like an electronic kind of show. Mm. Apex Twin stuck in my head, but that's not the correct one. But anyway, this guy mapped out that while these guys were on tour, that they think that the lead singer of that band is Banksy. Because really? They're saying that in all the cities that he was really? In, his art appeared. So they're like using data.
Oh, wait. So,
and this guy has claimed that he knows him. So there's a relationship there. So well, I could look it up. I mean, I guess I kind of have to
so
be.
So you're saying Banksy is not only this amazing, you know, ninja-like, you know, artist that people are going crazy over, but he's also the lead singer of a hit English band?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No shit. You know, the example that I gave when I first read that.
Massive Attack.
I've never heard of them.
Yeah, they do that. That
shouldn't surprise anybody because I don't know much about modern music.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that that this is known, right?
Banksy is supposedly the front man from Massive Attack?
From Massive Attack. Which,
no shit.
Yeah. So Robert De Naja. 8 signs. So people have been putting this together for a long time now. Because you got to figure, it's got to be hard at this point for him to... they know he's from Bristol.
Listen, I just found out that no one knew who Banksy... Listen, I've known who Banksy has been for, you know, many, many, many years.
Oh, you do know who Banksy is?
I know of his work.
Know his secret identity.
Yeah, right. He's my neighbor.
Like Clark Kent.
Yes. But I didn't realize that no one knew who Banksy was.
As in the human being.
Yes. Like,
he's unidentified. Until just
a few days ago.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Because it's like, as you said,
you just assumed that...
Everyone knew who he was.
You thought he was like Cher.
Kind of like Daft Punk. Right, the example I used was Daft Punk.
Right.
You know, Daft Punk...
Like, you know they're two French guys, they have names, but
and people know who they are.
Yeah, right.
You know who they are. Right. You can Google them, you can see them without the helmets on. You know what I mean? But the average person isn't going to walk down the street and be like, no shit, fucking you guys are Daft Punk.
Right. Richie would be able to.
Richie would be able to pull it out.
Right.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't know who they were. So I thought people knew who Banksy was. And then I just found out the other day that no one, you know, knows who he is.
Right.
Which makes it even more impressive.
Oh, it's super badass.
And adds so much more to the allure of it. Especially since
Well, it's probably this dude from Massive Attack, so we ruined it. But
well, there it is.
Yeah.
The Ryan and Brian podcast.
Someone's always we just broke it.
For the past 10 years, people have been trying to figure out who the fuck is Banksy.
His name is Robert Nadunjana.
He is the front man of Massive Attack. Here, you heard it here first. The Brian and Ryan podcast.
Yep.
New, you know, TMZ. You know?
The robots are gonna get us.
I don't know. Parkour robot. That's
That dude is gonna get us.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, no, the bank. If people don't know about it, it was we started talking about it. The girl with the was it the girl with the balloon?
Yeah.
It was sold at Sotheby's, which is, you know, obviously like the premier auction house for fine art.
Hoity-toity.
It was the last item to go, and as soon as the gavel dropped. For what was it? 1.3 million?
Yeah, something like that.
1.2 or 1.3 million. It was over $1 million.
That's a lot of money.
As soon as the gavel dropped, the frame started to legitimately shred the artwork.
In real time, yeah.
The artwork started dropping out the bottom of this. And when I say frame, it was almost like a shadow box.
Ornamental,
big, like, over the top, you know, gaudy frame that it was framed in, that Banksy obviously framed it, and it started to shred itself and come out the bottom in ribbons, which
now makes it worse.
So much more.
Like, that guy just hit the jackpot.
Yes.
It's worth probably 10 times that now.
100%.
It'll probably be the thing, the most thing you want to own, right? Especially if you have the whole apparatus with the blades.
That's so cool. Because it wasn't necessarily I don't know if you read about it.
I watched the video.
It's not a typical... I haven't seen the video.
Somebody shot him making it.
Oh, really?
And they released it.
It's a bunch of X-Acto blades.
It's these blades.
It's X-Acto blades.
Oh, is that what they are?
It's X-Acto blades. Pointy ones. Yep, X-Acto blades. And yeah, it's... It's really cool.
Yeah.
Listen, if you're going to do fucking art, that's how you do fucking art, dude. It's awesome, dude. It really is. Man. It's so badass.
Yeah, I love it.
You know?
I wish we saw more of that kind of stuff.
Well, the fact that it's so impactful is because you don't see much of it.
Yeah.
Or, you know? 100%.
I guess not.
So when do you go? You're going here, and I've told a lot of people about you going to L.A.
Yeah, I'm super.
To see Danny Elfman.
Fucking geek.
Did you listen to that, the Joe Rogan podcast?
I did not. Was it about Danny Elfman?
It was, I think it was Brendan Schaub, who's a former UFC fighter who has turned stand-up comedian, who's good friends with Rogan and all those guys. And he was on Joe, and the conversation of theater came up, and Joe was talking about how he has taken his two younger daughters to see musicals and stuff. And he was talking about how, you know, he's air quote lost his man card, and it was miserable and it was horrible. And like theater and musicals are, you know, not for him. And Brendan Shaw was just like, yo, bro, they're doing Nightmare Before Christmas. He was like, with all the original actors, Danny Elfman is going to fucking be there. And he was just like, and they're going to do the whole entire movie. That's going to be badass.
Yeah.
You know, and Joe was like, really? Danny Elfman? And Brendan Shaw was like, listen, man, I know Elfman's getting old and stuff, but you look at that motherfucker. And that dude looks like he's got a big ass dick. And he was like, I think Danny Elfman's got a big fucking hammer. The way he fucking conducts himself, the way he looks, he's not a good looking dude. But you know all the girls want to be with him because they know
he's married to Bridget he's Fonda. Got
a big ass dick.
You might be right.
You know, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, you know? No, that's funny. I should have listened to it.
So when you still can.
It's Halloween. Internet. It's the weekend before Halloween. So it's Halloween actually is on a Wednesday.
So the 31st is Wednesday.
Right. Okay. So they're doing a Friday and a Saturday, and they just added a Sunday show.
So that's what, the 26th?
Something like that.
So you're going on Friday.
We're going the very first night. Like Friday. If I had known they were going to do a Sunday night, I would have done the Sunday night.
So they're doing three nights.
They are doing three shows.
Wow.
Yeah.
I figured it'd be one.
Yeah. So three nights. And I already told Jess that, like, so for the first night, we're going to be in the third row.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, center.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the way that they do the stage, because they have the full orchestra.
Right.
The actors basically stand on the apron.
Yeah, so explain it so people don't, like people, because you've explained it to me in the past. So it's why? It's the 25th anniversary?
It's the 25th anniversary of the release of Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay.
And Danny Elfman, which some of our listeners may know as a composer, which he's a very famous composer. He did Batman, Beetlejuice, Edward Scissorhands, tons of Marvel movies. Legendary. Everybody knows.
Legendary. You've heard it.
What you may not know, 10 times. For our younger Vans listeners, is that he was the front man of an incredible band called Oingo Boingo. And if you want to get into some serious shit, now is the time of year to do it because it's October. They're kind of known as a Halloween band, which is a little bit bullshitty, but they also exploit that too because they played huge Halloween shows in LA for like 20 years straight.
Makes sense.
If you go back to the really old shit, like 1981, Only a Lad, it is straight up like punk ska, high energy.
Oh, dude, it's fucking amazing.
You know, awesome. And then they just continuously morphed over the years from being like that to like what you hear in like Dead Man's Party in the middle of their career, which was like pretty slick and pretty styled. It seemed like almost movie music, which it sort of was, but it was also poppy and bouncy and synthy. And then at the end in their last album is straight like grunge alternative rock. Like they got rid of the horns. They brought in a new guitar player who was playing like heavy sound. They've got Danny bringing a bunch of strings and orchestra stuff. The video was directed by the guy from Tool.
Yeah.
Who does the, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, exactly. So they were a band for like 20 some years, you know?
And towards the end of it, it definitely got a little dark.
Yeah, it was definitely a different sound.
It got dark, dark. It's you and I grew up with that. I mean, you're the one that turned me on to it.
Right, so we're talking about Danny Elfman. So Danny Elfman was the front man at Oingo Boingo of his years, aka the lead singer. And when Danny switched over to being a movie composer, he eventually basically retired from Oingo Boingo, and the band essentially ceased.
When was the last time They
played
in
1994. Halloween 1994.
Was the last time Danny Elfman.
Or wait, I'm sorry, 1995.
So do you think Danny Elfman will ever
play with Oingo Boingo again?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, everyone's holding out a hope. Yeah. Everybody asks him about it. You'd remortgage
your house for it, wouldn't you?
I mean, yeah, you know, it would be incredible. So in 2015, when Danny did this show that I'm about to see, which was a little different, I think, when they did that time, because I think they only sang the songs and didn't act out the parts. He came out and did an encore and sang Dead Man's Party.
Wow.
With the orchestra.
So you're hoping.
I doubt that's going to happen again because it was the 20th anniversary of the band dissolving.
Oh.
Of their last show. So it all just kind of came together.
I see what you're saying.
So I doubt that he will do that at these shows because this, I think, will be more of a celebration of the Nightmare Before Christmas.
Right. That makes sense. You never know, though.
So this year, they're doing live projections. So there's going to be the actual show is going to be projected on behind them, the movie.
Right.
And then the proscenium, is that what it's called?
You have the theater degree.
I should know that. They're going to do projection mapping onto it. So there's going to be like little characters and things moving now.
Okay.
Because I will be the third row center, I'm not going to see that shit. You know what I'm going to see? I'm going to see motherfucking Danny Elfman standing me to you away. I've never seen him.
Might be you to Jenny.
Maybe me to Jenny away. Although he'll probably be 8 foot in the air, so I'm going to be looking at him like this. Be looking at his giant monster.
How else would you want to look at him? Looking up at him, right?
I mean, there it is.
You know?
So I've already told Jess that I would like to maybe go back Sunday and sit way in the back.
Twice.
See it twice.
You bastard.
That would be cool, right?
That would be amazing.
Because then you get to see it. You get to experience it right up there, right, you know, really going to get. He's going to have a full orchestra because the fucking LA Philharmonic.
Yeah.
Plays
no
here.
No joke.
And so you know how big that is. So what pushes them forward. And it's him, Kathleen O'Hara, the woman from Beetlejuice.
Right.
She played Delia, the mom in Beetlejuice. The big black guy that plays Oogie Boogie. The dude, Greg Popes. He used to be on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Oh, yeah.
Greg Popes. Is that how
Is that the guy with the crazy hair?
Yeah.
He's got the crazy hair with the glasses.
And the glasses, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
He does some of the voices in the show. So he's going to be there. And
Paul Reubens.
A.K.A.
Pee-wee Herman.
Pee-wee Herman, baby.
Pee-wee Herman. Price of Admission is with Danny Elfman and Pee-wee Herman. Yeah, it's worth going to see Philharmonic, the Pee-wee, and Danny Elfman.
I have more news about this show.
What?
Then the next night, I'm going to see the Oingo Boingo Dance Party play at the Saban Theater, which is the rest of Oingo Boingo sans Danny Elfman. And then we're going to Disney World, Disneyland, for 2 days. And then we're doing The Void.
Oh, The Void.
We're doing the Ghostbusters Void.
Oh, I know nothing about this.
Yeah.
Is it only at Disneyland?
It's in Hollywood. Disneyland has Star Wars. We opted to do the Ghostbusters.
Wait. So it's not affiliated with Disney World or Disneyland?
I believe that Disney is an investor.
I think Disney fucking owns that shit.
They might. They're probably a primary
Ghostbusters
player.
Would be fucking amazing.
That's why I wanted to do it, yeah. Because I figured just to have a different story, too, because we heard from your brother about it.
Dude.
Yeah, so I'm really geeked about that.
Dude. I'd be excited. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like a kid. Like, this is Christmas coming up.
I'm going to go up to Seven Springs this weekend and see a bunch of kids get fucking run over by goats and
goats?
Some pigs in a petting zoo.
Is that what happens?
Yeah. That's my entertainment, you know?
They get nailed.
Going to LA and seeing all this crazy shit. That's awesome.
Well, listen, we are going to wrap up part one of episode 5.
Well, before we wrap up, we still have a few minutes here.
Okay, go ahead.
Have you been watching the Steelers?
Ah.
I didn't watch the last game, but we won.
Yeah,
maybe that's a sign that I should stop fucking watching.
Well, you know, when you start saying that, like maybe I should wear the same underwear.
Well, yeah,
because every time I wear these underwear,
superstitious, you know. They won.
They did.
The rumor is Le'Veon Bell's coming back.
Game 7 is that?
Yeah,
what
I guess
we're on?
Like during Cleveland, playing Cleveland in Cleveland, or maybe playing Cleveland at home. I don't know. The second game of Cleveland after the bye week.
It's like game 7 for us.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
You know,
that's what I heard too. Because he has to, right?
No, he doesn't have to.
Oh, so he's just giving in.
No, I mean, my thing is, he's already lost almost $4 million.
That's crazy.
That's crazy, right? $4 million.
Do you think he's gonna get a giant payday?
Listen, it's just like, no, I don't think he's gonna get a giant payday. But I don't think he's gonna get a giant payday now. You know, unless he comes in and fucking just takes us to the promised land.
Promised land.
Yeah, like as in like win a Super Bowl. If he comes in and we fucking march to the Super Bowl and just lay wreck to fucking everybody, you know, then yeah, he gets a super huge contract and he fucking deserves it.
Do you think he'll play that hard because he is fighting for the next deal now?
He has to be.
Because if do you think if he just lays it up, people still won't throw money at him?
Let's put it into our world. Because
there just aren't that many talented guys. Let's put it into our world, right?
You're going on a job interview and you're telling them that you haven't worked in the past year and a half.
Right.
And you're demanding top dollar for your services.
Right.
Are they going to give it to you?
Yeah, but can't they just like make you do some combine shit and prove that you still
I don't think so.
No. No, you don't think there's some team that's so hard up on their luck that has plenty of money?
Throw it at them. Maybe, but the thing that I've always said was this with them was, he's a great, he's super talented. And he's an amazing athlete, an amazing running back. But he's part of the system. He does as well as he does because of the offensive line. And Roethlisberger and AB and Juju. And you know what I mean? Yeah. It's kind of like, it's like that fight over the weekend with Connor and Khabib. Khabib's known for takedown, ground and pound. He'll wrestle the shit out of you. Greatest wrestler in the world. He'll just grind you out. Right? Connor was so scared of that takedown that Khabib, the most impactful like turn of events, was Khabib with this overhand right that dropped Connor, the hardest hit Connor's ever been hit with.
Because
he was so concerned about the takedown
right. That
he wasn't even thinking about right. The punch, and he cracked him.
And once you have the 1-2 punch of running game NFL,
it's like, you know what I mean? Because once they start to defend the running game, you throw it to AB or Juju.
Now, the thing I will say, though, that those guys in particular, though, have a ticking clock because those guys don't last long. You know, you look at a guy like Jerome Bettis, and it's, like, amazing that he played as long as he did.
That's why we love him.
The bus, baby.
The bussy, man. Bussy. Everyone loves a bussy. No, he's 27. He's injury-prone, and he's on 2 strikes. So he gets 1 more infraction with the NFL. He's suspended for 1 year automatically.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Because the last one was riding on the road right behind your house here, smoking a blunt.
Hey, man, don't
you know, getting pulled over.
Do not do it.
But, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Ben Perkins is going to get you.
Yeah, he's gonna grab my mic. But, right. So let's wrap this up. It's a short episode tonight.
We're wrapping.
Wrapping it up.
Oh, we're taking it.
Are we going to wrap it up? Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Jenny's giving us the wrap it up song.
Wrap it up song.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you guys soon. Yeah. Thanks for listening.